It's a privilege to be with you today. I hope you had a good Christmas and that you're all hanging in there. And how many of you are ready to flush 2020 somewhere? Yeah. The funny thing is, I mean, not to be depressing, but just because it turns to January 2021 doesn't mean anything's going to get better. You know? I wish, right, in your head, it's like, oh, we get a fresh start. No, you don't. It's just next week. It's just the same, you know? But the good thing is that if we've learned how to tune our ear and our hearts to Jesus better this year, then the guarantee is he's going to continue to journey with us going forward. And so our hope, our joy isn't tied to the circumstances that we find ourselves in the midst of, but rather the truth of who Jesus is. And that's worth celebrating an awful lot today. In the late 1970s, a guy named Ronald Wayne sold his 10% stake in the Apple Computer Company. In the late 1970s, he sold his 10% in Apple computers for $800. You know, I'm not very good at math, but I don't think that was a very smart deal or a good decision. Do you know that that $800 then today would be worth over $80 billion? $80 billion if he had just hung in there. You know, and instead he got $800. Now, I know in the late 70s, people would do anything they could to buy as many Bee Gees albums as they could, but I don't think that was a good trade. And $80 billion today, $80 billion today is so much money. I mean, that's $80 billion. That's roughly $1 for every complaint we've heard this year. It's a lot of money. And yet you look back on that trade, that's just not a good swap, 800 when it could have been 80 billion. And you look at different moments in history where there's just been some trades, some purchases, some exchanges that you go, gosh, this was not a good deal. But what I want to talk about today is really the best set of trades ever, the best deal that you could possibly imagine. And it's a spiritual one in nature. And it has to do with Jesus Christ. In the Christmas season, we've come back to reconsider what the birth of Jesus brought to us. And today we consider more of the life of Jesus and the death of Jesus and who Jesus is for you and I still here and now today. There are some incomprehensible trades that Jesus has made for me and you. Because of who he is and what he has done on the cross, there's some phenomenal spiritual math, some math for your soul that, quite frankly, it doesn't make sense at all until you factor in Jesus. I can tell you the truth that you and I stand as the overwhelming beneficiary of the person and work of Jesus. It wasn't a fair trade. It wasn't equal trades. It wasn't even a trade that he made one time long ago and we've missed out. It's a trade that he continues to make over and over and over again on a daily basis. It's a trade that's available for every single one of you that find yourself here today who don't have a relationship with Jesus. He's offering these trades to you today. It's trades that are available for those of you that already have a relationship with Jesus and yet have swapped out some of these areas for lesser things than what Jesus had to offer in the first place. And I would just beg you, I'd beg you to consider again the incomprehensible trades that Jesus has to offer. And if you've never taken him up on it, would you take him up on it today? Or, Christian, maybe if you have slunk back or shrunk back or swapped out some of the amazing blessings that God's given you for some of these lesser things, maybe today he re-exchanges those as a free gift to you. I don't know that I can bank on myself a whole bunch. I'm often even confused by, religion in general. Sometimes I'm frustrated by the American church in 2020 in general. But I'll tell you, I can always bank on Jesus. I'll tell you, when I lose my way or I get a little confused about this, that, and the other thing, Jesus somehow always makes clear sense to me. And so maybe just today, as we wrap up a year and then we are about to step foot into a new year, reestablishing just for our own hearts who Jesus is, what he's done, what he's got for us, letting him secure some of the things that maybe have been eroded this year and bolster some of the things just about our own personal relationship with Jesus going into this next year. I don't know if there's a better way to end or a better way to begin. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Here are the trades that he made for me and you. You know, there's probably several. We're going to talk about four today. And at least these four are so key, so crucial that I don't want you to miss them. He offers continually to exchange grace for shame. That's a great trade. He offers continually to exchange truth for lies. Jesus offers also to exchange or trade out righteousness for sin. And lastly, we're going to look at the trade that Jesus makes in the type of relationship that you and I can have from him. That he'll give us approachability rather than hiding. He'll give us a real relationship instead of a fake one. Now, it's mind-blowing to me because Jesus, in his being, is grace and is truth and is righteousness. Jesus in himself is incredibly approachable. He is, at his core, all of those things. And ironically, I believe it's all of those things that you and I desperately need and really long for in our heart of hearts, in our soul. I know I long for grace and I long for truth and I long for righteousness and holiness. I long for an approachable, real, intimate relationship with Jesus. And yet too often I find myself drowning in shame, buying into lies, falling prey to the temptation of sin, and slinking away, kind of hiding in my relationship with God. Jesus came to trade out all that stuff for the better stuff. He came to replace it. See, Jesus didn't come just to give us those things in addition to the stuff that we have. He didn't just come, because that would have been great enough if Jesus came and gave you grace and left it with all your shame. And gave you the truth, but left it with all the lies, and gave you his righteousness, but then left all of the sin. You know, I mean, that would be nice. That would be an improvement. But what Jesus desires, what his plan really is to trade out. Hey, let me give you grace, and then you give me shame. Your shame. I'm going to give you the truth. And in exchange, I'm going to take away the lies that you fall prey to. I'm going to give you my righteousness. In exchange, I'm going to take your sin away. I'm going to give you an approachable, sympathetic relationship with me and take away the need for you to fake it around me. Praise God for that. I think that's a beautiful thing that we've got in this relationship with Jesus. And so there's three passages that I want to look at today. One from John, one from 2 Corinthians, and one from Hebrews. And so if you've got your Bible, open up to the book of John. Go right to chapter 1. And we'll make sense of some of these things together from the scriptures. I'm not making up these trades. This came right from the Word of God. John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You skip down to verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Skip down to verse 16. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already received. That's cool. And then, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. There it is again. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him, God the Father, known. We get to know what God is like by looking at Jesus. And some of the core substance, defining characteristics of who Jesus is: grace and truth. Grace and truth. Grace is getting way more than you deserve. That's what grace is. Truth is what is sure. Truth is what is reality. Truth is what you can stand on, bank on, guaranteed. So Jesus is, just by very nature, a gift giver who's always giving out way more than we deserve of what we need. And he also speaks, and his very being is sure and reality. It is someone and something that we can bank on and stand on securely. He's grace and truth. And then as grace, here's what I think that Jesus is constantly offering us as a trade. I'll trade you grace for your shame, Jesus says. In any moment of failure, we as a culture or in our own hearts love to heap shame, don't we? Now, shame says you need to be humiliated or distressed because of your behavior. But with the grace of Jesus, Jesus says, you don't need that shame. Jesus says, I'll take it on me. And you get way more than you deserve. That's a great trade. Now, in truth, as truth, Jesus is also constantly offering us another type of trade. He says, I'll trade you truth for lies. In a moment of doubt or uncertainty or instability, we as a culture or in our own hearts love to buy into a false narrative about ourselves or about others or about God. Lies say that being deceived or deceiving others is okay as long as the real heart of the matter never gets exposed. That's what lies say. With the truth of Jesus, Jesus says to know me is to be able to finally distinguish what is real from what is not. what's trustworthy and what is not, what you can bank on and what you cannot. Jesus, as truth, says, I'll take on the deceiver, Satan, cosmically and day to day, giving you someone and somewhere to look that is secure. And who is that someone? Jesus, the Christ. He is full of grace and truth. So how's about trading out some of the shame that maybe you carry or that you have put on yourself for the grace that Jesus constantly offers? How's about trading out some of the lies that maybe we swallow, hook, line, and sinker? Some maybe that we've been deceived by. We didn't quite know we were swallowing them hook, line, and sinker until it was too late. Maybe we've been looking for the truth in all the wrong places only to discover that the truth is in the person of Jesus Christ, who is the living word of God. You want the truth? It's right here. About you, about me, about our world, about God Almighty. How's about allowing Jesus to make the trades that he came to make? Now skip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21. A classic verse. God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You hear the trade right there in the language? God made him who knew no sin become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. This amazing trade, God didn't stop with just grace and truth being extended, or a trade for grace and shame and truth and lies. Jesus takes it a step further and says, what's more is, I want to trade out your sin for my righteousness. This all happened in the person and the work of Jesus. Jesus says, I'm going to take your sin on me, on the cross, and I'm going to be a substitute sacrifice. I'm going to take the punishment. I'm going to take the penalty that you really deserve for your sin on myself. And just that, wouldn't that have been a huge blessing, just to have our sin removed? But he takes it a step further. I'm just not removing your sin only. I'm taking away your sin and I'm giving you my righteousness, my holiness. I'm giving you a brand new heart. And scripture says that the righteousness of Jesus is basically credited to our account but because of our faith. Because of my faith in who Jesus is and what he's done, then I hand Jesus my sin and he hands me his righteousness. That's quite the swap. That's quite the trade. It's imputed to me or credited to me as righteousness. And on the cross, the cross becomes the physical location for this spiritual banking transaction, whereby all my debt that is owed to God is canceled. And I am now credited in my account with the hugest of blessings. How many of you would like to have all your credit card debt, all your physical debt, your house, your cars, whatever, just totally canceled right now? That in and of itself would be the hugest of blessings, would it not? But how also would you also like to then have all the debt wiped out and then someone deposit, credit something that you could never, ever earn on your own, put into your account? Oh my goodness. That's what Jesus did there at the cross. You hand me your sin, I'll trade you my righteousness, my holiness. There's nothing you can do to measure up or build a high enough spiritual bank account to be good enough for God's credit. So Jesus says, charge it to me. Put it on my account. Wow. What a special, special blessing. I would love very much if someone would just pay off my house. That would, we'd leap for joy, right? But what if someone canceled the debt on my house and then did an extreme home makeover? Spiritually speaking, that's what Jesus did with our soul. He pays off the debt, and then he replaced this icky, broken down internal thing in here that just wants me and my thing and my way. Then he replaced it with a brand new heart. He replaced it with a heart that's tuned in and sensitive to his. He replaced it with his righteousness. It's a good trade so far. Last one, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14 through 16. Scripture here says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Now, grace is getting way more than we deserve. Here's what mercy is. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. So here, again, there's a both and. One time I was driving on a freeway type road, a highway that was able to be sped upon. And I took advantage, and I got pulled over. And the guy came up, and he's going to write me a ticket and explain the whole situation to me, and I'm braced, and I'm ready for it. I know I'm guilty. I know I was doing the wrong thing. And I begin to apologize and whatnot. And first off, he listened. My dad had just passed away for real. I wasn't making it up. I was trying to get down to go see my mom. And the whole collision of the incident made me begin to cry. You think that's the only thing that women do when they get pulled over, but it's not. It's guys too. And so I began to cry. And he stopped, and he explained the situation. He said, hey, Ron, I'm not going to write you a ticket today. Okay, he's not going to give me what I deserve. That's mercy. Then he stopped and he said, and what's more is, I would like to pray for you right now. And he reached in, put his hand on me, and he prayed for me. He gave me way more than I deserved. That's grace, right there in one moment. What a huge privilege and honor. And on the biggest of scales, that's what Jesus is extending to us all the time. He's giving us grace and mercy. What gifts. But this says that Jesus, who is ascended, he is there as our high priest. He's constantly interceding on our behalf. Jesus has stepped in and he is praying for us. He's contending for us. He's fighting for us. He knew exactly what it's like to be me and you because he was human in every way, just like us, except without sin, which makes him sympathetic, which makes him empathetic to me and you. He knows what it's like to face the stuff that you and I face. And so when we go to him, he's already paid the price for our sin. He's already canceled the debt. He's already given us his righteousness. And then he reminds us here in the scriptures, hey, I know what it's like to be you. I can sympathize with you. And because I've taken care of the sin problem that separated us, you can continue to approach me whenever you want, as often as you want, on a constant basis. And not just approach me, you can approach me and my throne of grace in confidence. And this trade means that Jesus has traded out the type of relationship that you and I can have. We don't need to have a timid, guarded, fake, hiding sort of relationship with Jesus. We don't have to. Instead, he offers us a safe, transparent, real, honest, sympathetic, approachable relationship. You have the right and privilege and honor to approach Jesus himself on a daily basis so that you can find the help and the mercy and the grace that you really need all the time, every single day. True of you right now at this very moment. He's not sitting there shaking his head in disgust at you, wagging the finger at you. Although I have done plenty of things to disgust him in my sin. But because of who he is, he has traded out, transformed, replaced who I am. Here's who I am in Christ. Here's who you are if you've got a relationship with Jesus. I am covered in his grace. I am walking with the truth, equipped with it. I am righteous because of him, not because of me. I am in an approachable relationship with Jesus the Christ. Let me personalize it. You are covered in his grace right now for those of you in Christ Jesus. You are equipped with and walking in the truth of Jesus. You are the very righteousness, holiness of Jesus. It's been credited to your account. And you are in an approachable, genuine, sympathetic relationship with Jesus the Christ. So, those of you that are here and you've never stepped into a relationship with Jesus, there's an awful lot that takes place when you take that step. There are some trades that take place cosmically. There's trades that take place in your heart and in your soul and in your mind and in your relationship with him. And so some of you, maybe you've never allowed those trades to take place. You're still dragging around the shame and the lies and the sin and hiding. You really don't have a relationship with Almighty God through Jesus. The beauty of it is it's all a free gift. And these trades only come through the person and the work of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. You want to be in a relationship with the Father, and then you come through me. So he says, go ahead and come. Just come. And when you do, in your faith, here's what I'll do. I'll replace your shame with grace. I'll replace the lies with truth. I'll replace your sin with my righteousness. And you'll have a constant, sympathetic, approachable sort of relationship with me forever. How's about that trade? Christian, maybe you're here and the grace part you've got down, but somewhere over 2020, maybe you've slipped back in to some lies. Maybe you know that who you are is anchored into the righteousness of Christ, but you've kind of swapped out a pocket here or a pocket there of your life to sin. Maybe there's one area in particular that you need just to allow Jesus to offer that trade back up, because it's not just a one moment in time thing, it's a daily sort of thing too. He's constantly offering grace, constantly offering truth, constantly sending us the direction of righteousness found in a relationship with him and repentance from our sin. Constantly saying, you can approach me to get the grace and mercy that you need. Would you take him up on that today? Let him make those trades. How do you do it? You go to the source. You go to Jesus. You come to him humbly and say, thank you. I need everything that you are. And I want you to be in the driver's seat of my life. My suspicion is most of you here already have a relationship with Jesus. But would you just be reminded, maybe daily for the next 6 months, of the trades that Jesus is constantly offering and already offered those of you that are in Christ? Huge, huge blessing. There's no better way for us to commemorate those trades than to take communion together. And that's what we'll do here as we spend a little time as we close. Communion was one of the special traditions that the Lord Jesus left us, left his people, as a way to remember the work that he has done on our behalf. And by correlation, then, remember these trades. Grace for shame, truth for lies, righteousness for sin, an approachable relationship, a real one rather than a fake one. The Lord Jesus, the night that he was betrayed, he gathered the rest of the disciples there. He took bread and he broke it and he said, this bread represents my body, which is going to be broken for you. And it would be broken some hours later on the cross. The same way after supper, he took the cup and he said, this cup represents the new covenant in my blood. And whenever you drink it, remember me. Remember who I am. Remember what I've done. Because it's the key to understanding what God's like. But it's also the key to continue to walk out what it is to be a follower of Jesus. We're going to leave you some time just to take communion on your own. The elements are in the back there if you didn't get them already. You can get up and get those elements in the back of the room, bring them back and take. If you already have them, hang on to them. If you've taken already, that's fine. But otherwise, I just ask you to hang on to the elements. Maybe be still for just a moment. It's a good time to just pray, thank God for who he is. It's a good time to maybe confess some areas that maybe the enemy has stolen back and invite Jesus to swap out the really, really good stuff for the junky stuff in your heart and your life. Hold those elements for just a few minutes and we'll take together here as we close. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for all that you have given us, all that you've offered to us, all that you continue to do on our behalf. We thank you so much for Jesus. Can't even put words together to describe the gratitude I have, Lord, for what you have done, how patient you are, and what you continue to do for me and for our people here. We thank you for the reminder of your body that was broken and your blood that was shed for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord Jesus says, this is my body which has been broken for you. Whenever you eat it, remember me. And he said, this cup, whenever you drink it, remember me.